Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're really taking a close look at something pretty intense for a lot of families: youth sports.
Oh, yeah. It's a pressure cooker for sure.
Right? You got this wild mix of like incredible pride, but also deep frustration and just immense pressure sometimes. So our mission in this deep dive is, well, pretty simple actually. We want to give you some foundational strategies, some practical tools you can actually use to turn that typical sideline stress, that feeling, that urge to shout instructions, turn that into real opportunities for connection, for growth with your athlete. We really dug into the research, the articles, coaching notes, all focus on strengthening that parent-athlete bond. It's crucial.
Absolutely. And if you had to boil down the philosophy running through all of it, it's this: connection isn't just some nice add-on to skills or strategy. It is the foundation for success. The core idea that kept coming up is that the sideline is a mirror. Athletes, they just naturally reflect the energy, the tone, even the anxiety of the adults around them, parents, coaches. So when we talk performance, the guiding principle has to be connection is greater than correction, always.
Wow. Okay. That really reframes it, doesn't it? Shifts the focus from just worrying about the school board to, well, maintaining the relationship. So instead of only thinking about winning, the tools we're talking about today are aimed at improving confidence, coachability, and yeah, that long-term resilience. For everyone involved, let's unpack that core idea. Let's start with the foundation. Why does that strong relationship actually matter beyond just, winning the weekend tournament?
Well, what's fascinating in the sources is how the relationship acts like a psychological safety net. It really does. When you build those strong connections, you create this inherent confidence because the athlete feels safe enough to try things, to fail, maybe even fail spectacularly, and still know they're secure. They can try again next time without fear of, well, judgment.
Okay, but isn't there a fine line? I mean, if we make it too safe, are we really teaching accountability? Where do the sources draw that line between, support and maybe shielding them too much from failure?
That's a great question. The sources suggest the line is drawn at judgment. Support isn't about shielding them from the natural consequences, a missed shot, a loss. Those things are actually essential for growth. Support means that when those things happen, they're met with curiosity, maybe some calm questions, not with sharp criticism or visible disappointment. And when they feel that consistent support, well, confidence just blossoms. And that feeds directly into coachability. Think about it. Feedback, whether it's coming from a parent, a coach, even another kid, it just lands so much better when the tone is calm, supportive, not biting or critical.
Right, athlete's brain isn't instantly in defense mode.
Exactly. And then finally, there's resilience. It's huge. Athletes just bounce back faster from a tough loss, a bad play, whatever it is, when they know deep down that their value, their worth, isn't tied only to that outcome.
Okay, so that's the why. Makes sense. The research then outlines the how by talking about creating a, quote, culture of connection. And the four building blocks mentioned are self-awareness, building trust, showing empathy, and of course, effective communication.
Yeah, and let's maybe zero in on trust and empathy first, because these are really the anchors that make genuine communication even possible. Trust is basically the glue, right?
Yeah.
And it's built through consistency. That's the key word. Consistency means showing up the same way, whether they win big or lose badly, not being, ecstatic after a victory and then giving the silent treatment after a loss. It's also about honesty and just genuine care. When an athlete trusts you, they're way more receptive to what you have to say, even the tough stuff.
And empathy helps us use that trust in the right way, responsibly.
Absolutely. Empathy in action is about trying to see the game, the situation, from the athlete's perspective, or maybe even understanding a teammate who's having a hard time. Let's take a practical example. Say your kid is sitting on the bench for like half the game. Empathy means tuning into those complex emotions, frustration, maybe embarrassment, fear, rather than immediately jumping in with a pep talk or, worse, criticizing the coach's decision right then. You really have to try and grasp their experience first before you decide how or if to intervene.
Okay, got it. That foundational piece, the relationship, is clearly vital. But probably the most actionable concept we found in the sources starts with knowing yourself first. Let's shift gears into that first, maybe most crucial step for the parent: self-awareness. The sources really hammer home that connection begins by understanding your own natural behavioral style.
Exactly. And there's a helpful model adapted from behavioral psychology that helps map this out. Think of it along two main lines or axes. First, are you naturally more outgoing or more reserved? And second, are you naturally more task-focused, all about results, logic, getting things done, or more people-focused, thinking about relationships, feelings, team harmony?
Okay, so If I'm, say, an outgoing, task-focused person, I'm probably naturally wired for quick decisions, direct action, maybe a bit impatient.
Precisely. That's a great example. And what's so vital to get here is that no style is inherently better or worse. They're just different ways of approaching things, especially under pressure. But being aware of these differences is huge. It reduces conflict. It helps build connection because it tells you exactly where you might need to consciously adapt your behavior to better meet your child's emotional needs in that moment. Based on this model, we can identify four primary athlete styles. Let's run through them quickly. First up, the commander. Think confident, decisive, naturally competitive. They like to take charge. Their main stress trigger, feeling controlled or not having enough independence.
Okay.
So the best way to support them, encourage their leadership, give them choices whenever possible within clear boundaries, of course, and keep your feedback brief, direct, and focused on the outcome. Don't lecture. They tune out lectures fast.
Right. Then you've got the hype player.
Yeah. Energetic, expressive, really enthusiastic. They're fundamentally motivated by joy, by connection, by the team vibe, what stresses them out, feeling ignored, or even worse, getting hit with harsh, dismissive criticism. That really lands hard.
So how do you support them?
You celebrate their effort lavishly. Keep the energy positive. If they lose focus, which can happen, gently redirect them. Use encouragement, never shame. Third is the glue, or sometimes called the steady anchor. These are your reliable, super patient, extremely loyal teammates. They hold things together. They get stressed by sudden, unexpected changes or feeling pushed too hard, too fast. Routine is their friend.
And support, looks like.
Offering deep reassurance, emphasizing consistency, giving them plenty of time to process decisions or changes. Don't rush them.
Okay, and the last one.
The analyst. These athletes are thoughtful, highly detail-oriented, often cautious. They like to understand the why, their triggers, feeling rushed, making mistakes because they weren't prepared properly, or dealing with unclear expectations from coaches or parents.
So for the analyst, you need to
give really clear, structured instructions. Recognize their preparation, not just the final result. Praise the hard work they put in beforehand. And absolutely avoid overwhelming them with intense emotion or last-minute chaotic changes. They need predictability.
That breakdown is incredibly helpful. Wow. Our sources also touch on the corresponding parent styles, the strategist, the cheer captain, the steady anchor, the advisor. And the core insight seems to be that pairing the wrong styles can create real friction, even when everyone means well.
This is where so much sideline frustration really comes from. It's the mismatch. This is where the deep dive pays off. Let's take a specific example. Imagine an analyst athlete, the kid who values pace, precision, thinking things through. Now pair them with a strategist parent who is naturally direct, results-focused, wants action now.
Ooh, I can see that clash. The athlete feels rushed, pressured, maybe even shuts down.
Exactly. It's like asking an architect who needs precision to work alongside a bulldozer driver who just wants the job done fast. Total mismatch in approach.
Yeah, good analogy.
So the practical tip for that strategist parent, respect the athlete's processing pace. Slow down your pace. Maybe use calm nonverbal cues, a simple thumbs up, a quiet nod instead of constant verbal instructions or corrections. Let their careful preparation work for them. Or let's take another one. The glue athlete. Remember, reliable, consistent, often quiet. Pair them with the super enthusiastic, loud cheer captain parent.
Okay.
That loud, boisterous cheering, while totally well-intentioned, might feel really overwhelming, maybe even embarrassing for that glue athlete who just wants to quietly focus.
Ah, okay. So the parent's energy, even if positive, is just too much for that kid's style.
Precisely. The tip is simple but powerful. Match the style of support to the athlete's actual need, not just your own natural tendency. Encourage with a softer tone, perhaps, a quiet word on the side. Sometimes just being a calm, supportive presence is enough. The volume and the style matter deeply.
That flows perfectly from awareness into action, which brings us to effective communication. The sources really emphasize that communication is so much more than just the words you pick. It's your tone, your body language, and critically, the timing of the message.
Timing, yes. It's everything, isn't it? Especially in sports. The source material outlines some things that athletes pretty universally wish their parents understood. And this is gold for that tricky car ride home. One common theme. I need space to make my own mistakes. Sometimes the best support a parent can give is just stepping back. Showing trust by letting them work through a challenge silently actually communicates more faith than launching into a motivational speech.
That's powerful. Okay, what else?
Another big one. I hear your feedback much more clearly when I know you believe in me.
Hmm, So lay the groundwork first.
Exactly. Instead of jumping right into the critique after a game, maybe start with a simple smile, a high five, a confident nod, before you offer any feedback. That nonverbal affirmation can soften the whole message, make the critique land safely, constructively, and maybe the most crucial one. Sometimes I just want you to listen, not fix. A supportive pat on the back, or just being a quiet, calm presence beside them, can often mean more than a lecture or a list of things they should have done differently. Especially after a tough loss, right? They've probably already analyzed it themselves or heard from the coach. That supportive presence might be exactly what they need most.
To create that supportive presence, to manage the whole environment, we need some guardrails, some boundaries. The sources introduce something called the sideline code of communication. And it sounds like this isn't just about being polite. It's really about optimizing the emotional climate for performance and well-being.
That's right. The code itself is pretty simple, but man, it gets violated easily under pressure. We've all seen it or done it. Key points. Cheer for effort, not just the outcomes like goals or saves. Try to be consistent in how you react, whether it's a win or a loss. Avoid those huge emotional swings. And the big one, do not criticize the referees, the coaches, or other players from the sidelines, ever.
Why is that one so critical?
Because those impulsive emotional outbursts immediately signal to your child that the environment is unsafe, unpredictable, and stressful. Your job is to model respectful behavior and emotional control, even when things feel unfair. That's the focus.
Okay. But conflicts will happen between parent and athlete, or just navigating tough moments. They're inevitable. So we need a structure to handle them without things spiraling emotionally. The core strategy highlighted is the breathe, name, ask technique. Can you walk us through that?
Sure. The steps are really intentional, designed specifically to slow things down, create space. First, breathe. Simple, but vital. Center yourself. Regulate your own emotions before you even engage. If you're angry or frustrated, take a moment. Wait. Second, name the specific issue clearly, not judgmentally. So instead of blurting out you always have such a bad attitude, try something like, I noticed you seemed really frustrated after that call. See the difference? It identifies the observable behavior, not the person's character.
Okay. Breathe. Name.
Third, ask open-ended questions. Questions designed to foster genuine understanding, not to corner them. Things like, what was most frustrating for you about that moment? Or, what do you think you learned from how that played out? Get them talking, thinking.
It sounds straightforward now, remembering breathe, name, ask while we're calm. But what about in the heat of the moment? Your kid just struck out to lose the championship game. How do you stop that conversation from just derailing completely?
Yeah, that's the real test. You need two critical rules, basically locked and loaded in your mind for those moments. The absolute most vital rule, always, always separate the event from the athlete's identity. Focus on the specific behavior, the action, a missed block, a poor decision on the field, not on generalizing about them as a person. That's what leads to shame and kills confidence. So avoid phrases like, you never seem to try hard enough, or you're always too slow off the mark. Keep it focused, specific, behavioral.
Okay, separate the event from the identity. Got it. What's the second rule?
The second is practical. Agree ahead of time on a cool-off signal or a specific timing for tough conversations. Maybe you agree sensitive talks only happen after dinner, or maybe and never in the car immediately after the game.
The dreaded car ride home.
Exactly. Setting that boundary beforehand prevents those raw emotional exchanges when everyone's defenses are up. It prevents lasting damage.
Yeah, the car ride. That could feel like a pressure cooker, can't it? Every parent knows that heavy silence. The sources had specific tips for that exact moment, right?
They did. First, honor the athlete's need for space. Don't force conversation if they're quiet. Sometimes silence is actually productive. Let it do its work. And when you do speak, maybe keep it focused on effort or a specific positive moment you noticed. Definitely avoid that play-by-play breakdown of everything that went wrong, honestly. Sometimes a simple, heartfelt, I really enjoyed watching you play today is the best and maybe the only thing you need to say right then.
That focus on consistent support, healthy communication, it seems to tie directly into the final section, building growth and resilience.
Absolutely. The research is really clear on this. Resilience doesn't grow when everything is perfect and easy. It grows precisely when things go wrong, and kids are given the tools and the support to cope effectively. When parents model how to handle setbacks, how to be vulnerable, show that mistakes are just normal parts of learning, that's how resilience is built. They're not seen as shameful disasters.
And this kind of supportive environment is what helps foster a genuine, lifelong love of the game, right? Yeah. Not just the temporary high of winning.
Exactly. It means shifting the focus towards growth, towards character development, maybe more than just trophies.
encouraging the friendships, the fun memories that happen way beyond the scoreboard, and crucially, celebrating the micro wins, those small improvements in skill or effort or attitude. That's what consistently builds confidence and keeps it enjoyable.
And the final piece that brings it all together is reflection, making time for it. Reflection is what turns those sometimes chaotic sports experiences into actual structured life lessons, into wisdom they can carry forward. Because if they don't reflect, honestly, they just played a game. Might have been fun, might not have been. But if they reflect, guided by you or a coach, they've learned something tangible, something applicable to school, work, relationships down the line.
The sources pointed out two specific reflection moments.
Yeah, the midseason check-in was one, just pausing halfway through to ask, hey, what's going well? What are you proud of so far? Celebrating progress. And then the more detailed end-of-season reflection. This is really valuable.
What does that look like?
You guide them, maybe ask them to highlight their favorite memory, and often it's not the big win, it's a funny moment with teammates. Then identify the biggest areas where they saw growth. Acknowledge the hard work that went into it. And maybe finish by choosing one word together that sums up the season's journey. What did it feel like overall? This kind of structured reflection really helps them see that the confidence, the self-awareness, the resilience they built in sports, it doesn't just stay on the field, it carries forward. That's the true legacy of youth sports, isn't it? Much more than wins and losses.
Absolutely. Okay, let's bring it back home for the listener. If we had to distill this down to the two most practical takeaways someone could apply like this weekend, what would they be?
Two key things. First, I'd say awareness is power. Just understanding those four basic behavioral styles, commander, hype player, glue, analyst, stupor, gives you an immediate lens to adapt your support, your communication style, to genuinely match what your specific athlete needs emotionally. It's a game changer.
Okay, awareness is styles. What's the second one?
And second, getting comfortable with that breathe, name, ask technique. Yeah. It provides that crucial structure for handling conflict respectfully, especially when emotions are high. And always remember that golden rule nested within it. Separate the specific event, the mistake, from the athlete's identity. Every single time.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, this whole journey isn't just about performance on the day. It's about fostering those meaningful bonds. It's about transforming the whole sports experience into a shared journey, one filled with real growth, real connection that lasts.
Okay, so if communication really is that combination words plus tone plus body language plus timing, here's a final thought for you to chew on this week. Thinking about your own athlete's specific behavioral style, are they more commander, hype player, glue, or analyst? What's just one nonverbal cue? Maybe a specific gesture, maybe an intentional moment of silence that you can practice this week. One small thing you can do to better match their need, whether it's for space or for affirmation or for calm, focus on making that one small, maybe even silent, adjustment. See how it impacts the connection.